Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
You know, you're not bad for an old man. Can you believe a high school kid said that to me on the basketball court yesterday? And I said that to Carrie when I got home. She said, well, you are an old man compared to them. And I was like, wow, these guys were showing me a mirror, that one guy in his comments. Hey, today on Sound Insight, we're going to dig into 8 statements about Lent in comparison to Easter. I am excited about this. I'll be back in a minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's get started with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we approach you with confidence in Jesus' holy name, and I ask that you would bless us, each and all. Lord, give us the grace to pray well and to live well. Lord, I pray that we would experience the overflow of this Easter season in our hearts today. Lord, give us the grace of understanding what it means to live Easter well. And Lord, give us the grace to do it today. I pray for all those who are traveling on their spring break, that they would arrive safely and peacefully at their destination. They would be refreshed and rejuvenated, and they would come back ready to go. Lord, I thank you for the gift of being able to slow down and take a break. And I ask, Lord, that we would truly recharge our batteries to be able to better serve you. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I want to kind of scan out the week for you, give you a little sense of where things are headed this week. I've got a great set of programs for you, and I'm excited about it. On today, my theme is how to have a great Easter season. Today, I'm going to talk about understanding Easter in light of Lent. And I've got 8 statements. 8 is the number of the resurrection, and I thought it's very fitting. So I have 8 statements that compare or contrast the reality of Lent and the reality of Easter. So for instance, the second point is Lent is about taking the journey to the cross. Easter is about running from the tomb. So that's just a for instance, contrast between the two. And so I've got 8 of those contrasts. And the point of those will be to connect our lives to the Easter season, because we often connect our lives to the Lenten season, but now we're kind of left in a quandary, kind of scratching our heads. What does it mean to live Easter well? We understand clearly what it means to live Lent well: prayer, fasting, almsgiving, Jesus in the desert, etc., etc. You know, we've gone through all of that, but what does it mean to live Easter well? So part one is today, and I've got these 8 points to help you understand Easter in the light of Lent. Tomorrow, I'm going to cover part 2 of that. And part 2 will be living Easter in light of the 7 first words. Sorry, the 8 first words. You've heard of the 7 last words of Jesus on the cross, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? And into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit, etc., etc. Well, did you ever reflect on the first 8 words? So for instance, the first one is, he is not here, he is alive. It's from the angels speaking to Mary, Magdalene, and the other Mary. So just for instance. So I go through the Gospels and I identify the first 8 words or sentences that are spoken in the time of the resurrection. And from those, draw out some reflections about what it means to live well the Easter season. So that's today and tomorrow on Sound Insight. Okay, how to have a great Easter season. Let's understand first Easter in the light of Lent. And here's my first point. The Easter season, and I've got eight of them, the Easter season is intimately linked with the season of Lent. And you might say, well, what is the link? Well, the link is that bridge called the sacred Triduum, the 3 days, right, that begins with Holy Thursday evening and extends all the way to Easter Sunday. And that is considered, and you probably experienced this if you went to the different liturgies, that the emphasis here is that it's one liturgy in three parts. It's one liturgy in three parts. So it begins on Holy Thursday in the evening, and then there's no closing hymn. There's no closing hymn, recessional hymn on Holy Thursday, but they process out with the Blessed Sacrament. And then they process in and start the Good Friday service, and then they process out again. So it's all, they're liturgically communicating to us, this is one big feast. And what this feast does is it creates a link in our minds and in our hearts between our living of the Easter season and our living of the season of Lent. In fact, you may have heard that this law of the church to go to confession once a year if you have a mortal sin, and it makes a recommendation during the Easter season. Now you'd say, well, why after Easter? Why during the Easter season? Well, when they say Easter season there, they mean from Ash Wednesday all the way to Pentecost Sunday. So there's one sense of meaning of the word Easter season that extends all the way back to Ash Wednesday, to the beginning of Lent. In other words, that the concept of Easter can be an umbrella concept liturgically that covers both Lent and Easter, both of those liturgical seasons. So we should not think that Lent was just all about Lent. No, we won't understand what Lent is all about until we understand Easter. Yesterday on Sound Insight, I dug into that with a new insight or a new light into an insight that maybe I had known, but it wasn't quite as alive in a point of focus for me as it had been in the past about knowing my new identity, and that all of those Lenten things were about, first of all, my identity as God's child and knowing that. So there's our first point, that if we're going to have a great Easter season, we must intimately link it to our Lenten experience. So now let's dig into some of the Lenten versus Easter concepts. So the second point, Lent is about taking the journey with Christ to the cross. Lent is about taking the journey to the cross. Easter is about running from the tomb. And you know, we get this. I can remember talking to my kids, I'm so happy it's Easter Sunday. And I said, well, what does Easter mean? And one of my kids said, well, it means we can eat candy. And then someone else jumped in, I think it was John Mark, and he said, no, it means Jesus is not on the cross anymore. What does Easter mean? It means that Jesus is not on the cross anymore. You know, as Catholics, we're good at Lent. I always say I love the Lenten season because I feel it. I feel the pinch. I feel the concrete presence of being Catholic, like most hours of my day. You know, I can't just ignore that I'm experiencing certain things in my body or in my life, decisions that I'm making to do or to avoid. And they're all about Lent. They're all about walking with Jesus towards that hour on the cross. You know, we're good at that, but we're not so good at Easter, right? We're maybe good at eating candy, right? We're good at indulging ourselves, but that's not what it means. You know, sometimes you'll hear the phrase, oh, be an Easter people. But it's like, what does that mean? Well, let me go back to that phrase that what does Easter mean? It means Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. Well, can we show in our lives, can we say that somehow Easter means that we show in our lives that Jesus is not on the cross anymore, that the tomb is empty, that I've got proof that Jesus rose from the dead, No, no, even better. I am proof that Jesus rose from the dead. How about that? If we share in the risen life of the risen Lord, it's the risen Lord, the ascended Lord, who's alive in us, who is growing in us, then we ourselves don't just demonstrate proof. We are proof. There should be something showing up and shining forth from our very being that puts on display in this world that the tomb is empty, that he is risen from the dead, and we are running because everything is new. Everything has changed. That's what it means to be an Easter people, that we put on display the reality of Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. He's risen from the dead. We are proof of that because we see his victory over death in us through the victory over death in our lives. So there's our second point. Lent is about taking the journey to the cross. Easter is about running from the tomb, running from that place of death, running with that spirit of new life, that spirit of adoption as God's children. We'll talk more about that later. Let me move on to the next point. Today I've got 8 points where I am talking about how to understand how to have a great Easter season by linking the living of Easter well with the reality of Lent. So for instance, Lent is about enough, and about enough is enough. Easter is about too much. Lent is about enough. Just take what's sufficient. That's what fasting is, right? It's not, fasting doesn't mean eat nothing. It means take what is sufficient for your situation in life. The Lord doesn't want you to fall over, right? Or not be able to fulfill the duties of your life. But it is about enough. Just take what is sufficient, not what satisfies. Take what you need, not what you want. And it's about enough is enough. It's about saying, I am done settling for less in this part of my life. I want to extend myself. I want to allow the Lord to extend me. And that's what I want, right? That's what I want. Easter, on the other hand, is about too much. It's about being filled to overflowing. And I'm going to talk about that by reflecting a little bit on my eating in the last few days. Let's just say it wasn't about enough. It was about too much. I'll talk about that in a second. You know, I make a point in my own reflection of life that what the Lord measures is fruits. And we'll talk about this in a minute as well. Not results, but fruits. And when I think about results, I can take a look and measure, for instance, how much weight did I lose during Lent? Or since actually, if you followed my story back to Valentine's Day, when I gave my wife a gift and started the next day on this weight loss program where I ate these packets of dust. And then when I reached Lent, about a month later, I incorporated the whole spirituality of accompanying Jesus in the desert, who fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And so I just had my sort of simple eating plan as a mode of eating what was sufficient rather than what satisfies. And it worked. You know, I lost a total of 43 pounds in about 60 days. That's quite a lot. And it was mostly the diet, but then when I incorporated some exercise, which, again, I did more as a penance than anything else, it was a real blessing, right? It just, the weight continued to come off. Well, you know what? That was Lent. And then there's Easter. So when I think about the difference between Lent and Easter, is that Lent was about enough, and enough is enough. Well, Easter was about too much. And let's just say it was about 7 pounds too much. Yes, that's right. I cannot believe it. From my lowest weight to today, to right now, let's see, I'm just about 7 pounds heavier. Yeah, you cannot believe it, but that's the case. And it wasn't just in the last couple of days. The Holy Week itself and the weekend before Holy Week, I started to slowly creep up in weight. I started to incorporate more food. And sure enough, the pounds started to come back on. Well, I'm like, I'm going to fight, right? I'm going to battle. I am not going to go backwards. So yesterday, I had started incorporating exercise that I could do that wouldn't really hurt my knee, which was begun to bother me. And I just, I am not going to go backwards. So I'm swimming and this and that. And I decided to play basketball. Bad decision, right? Bad decision. Now, I didn't roll my ankle yet, but that's probably coming. But I decided to play, you know, just play at a decent pace, not try to go nuts. And it was fascinating because this high school kid after the game said, "You're pretty good for an old man." And I looked at him and I smiled and I just said, "Thank you." And I said at the beginning of the program, when I mentioned this to Carrie, she laughed and she said, "Well, you are an old man." You know, to him, you're an old man. And I ended up actually playing with a couple of kids in Mary Catherine's class. So she got a big kick out of that, my eighth grader. And these kids were good. I'm like, was I that good in eighth grade? I don't think I was. In any case, it was fascinating to be playing basketball again and to realize that, you know what, I'm an old man. And I don't want to settle for what was the old way of looking at life. And Easter is about giving up that old way and allowing something new to come in. That the Lord has us live through Lent in a way that we say, yeah, enough, and enough is enough. But Easter is about experiencing the God who is too much. The God who is, the theological word is superabundant. The God who lavishes choice portions. The Lord who fills us to overflowing. And if I could encourage you to enter into prayer during this interseason, it's invite the Lord who you were willing to follow in Lent to say, "Lord, I'm willing to follow you along the path of enough, what is sufficient, self-denial, and enough is enough, asceticism, mortification, spiritual training," that you'd give God permission to experience the too muchness of God, to experience the too muchness of the Father. Really, I really encourage you to pray for that. To pray for, "Father, help me to experience the reality that you delight to fill me to overflowing." Pray for that. That's an Easter season prayer. You get the Lenten one, but hear the Easter one. Easter itself is a feast day that overflows a day. We're still in Easter. Did you get this? We're actually still liturgically celebrating Easter over 8 days. It's an octave. It's so big, it cannot be contained in a day. So we're on the third, let's say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We're on the third day of the 8 days of the feast of Easter. It's too much to fit into a day. So today on the program, I'm digging into eight points where I'm reflecting on the distinction between living Lent well and living Easter well. So we want to live Easter well now. And so doing it by point of contrast, the next point, the fourth point, is that Lent is about being pruned so as to bloom. Easter is about the bloom bearing fruit. Lent is about being pruned so as to bloom. Easter is about the bloom bearing fruit. So we get Lent, springtime, right? You know, use the examples of pruning a rose bush, and you cut back seemingly mercilessly down to these knobs and, you know, just little small pieces down on the close to the ground. And sure enough, they're going to grow and they're going to flourish precisely because they were pruned. And we get that. You know, we get that. But do we get the idea that the bloom is meant to bear fruit? And I can remember, and I still see it today, when you have these buds that are just about to start to blossom. And we had a couple of trees that had berries on them, and they had these buds that would begin to flower. And I can still remember these squirrels just going up the tree. And I just saw one like a couple days ago in the backyard here, going up a tree and just going branch to branch and just devastating these blooms these buds that were just on the point of about to bloom. And this son of a gun squirrel was just feasting away. And I think that can happen to us, that we get pruned in Lent, and then we reach Easter, and then we're robbed of the fruit. We somehow let go of the process, and we fail to take action on the Easter side of things. Okay, I went through all that pruning, and now is it just return back to normal? Return back to the old things that we had given up? No, now the Lord has a new normal for us. There's a newness He has for us, and we've got to act out of that newness, out of that pruning. And it's living in a whole new reality, that reality that we're God's children. And so I'm trying to stay attuned to what that newness looks like for me right now. So a couple of quick stories. I mentioned to you that last week, it was a week ago today, in fact, that I had reached out to someone on Facebook. It was like Monday night late on the day after Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, I was at Mass, and this guy that I had known from high school came to mind, and I reached out to him on Facebook and sent him a message and just said, "You came to mind in Mass, and I sensed I was supposed to pray for you and to pray for those that you care about. And just, I hope this isn't odd to you, but it's just a sign that the Lord is watching over you and those that you care about. And I hope you're not offended." And then I told the story how I was there waiting for a meeting when all of a sudden I got this video call on Facebook Live, and our video call through Facebook. And the guy was reading it. He was in the passenger seat of a car and he was reading it. He didn't realize that he had connected on video with me. And he was reading his message, and he had this kind of look on his face that was hard to interpret. And then I got cut off, and then he was going to message me, but he didn't say anything. It never came through. Well, he got a hold of me. He messaged me on Holy Saturday, and he let me know what was happening. And what had happened was, on that Friday, 2 days before I had that sense to pray for him, someone that was dear to him in his life sadly and tragically ended his life with a suicide. And he was really torn up about it and distraught, and a number of his friends in the same situation. And he welcomed the message from me, was not offended, but appreciated the outreach from that message, and talked about how one of the places where he really sensed his ability to connect with God was at Mass. And that he was very grateful that I mentioned to him that it was at Mass that I got this sense of a message from the Lord for him, and that I was supposed to share it with him. So there was a bridge there. I was like, wow, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for that new normal. And what's that new normal? Well, it's the Easter reality of saying, I'm going to be open to take action out of that new reality, that you know, I'm God's child, and we're all God's children. And the Lord wants us to bring that message as we run from the tomb, that others would come to know the too muchness of God, that the Lord will take extraordinary steps to reach out and bless, reach out and bless, reach out and bless. So I'm trying to pay attention to this new reality. And interestingly, I got a call last night from a buddy of mine in New Hampshire, and he said, "Hey, I'm checking in. I've been praying for you regarding your home, and I want you to know St. Anthony." And he gave a testimony about a story in his life where they were struggling to find a place to live. They turned to St. Anthony, and a miracle happened, and it was St. Anthony's intercession, you know, who, patron saint of lost objects. Okay, we've lost a home. We need to find a home. And I'm like, I'm in. You know, little did he know how dear St. Anthony is to me. St. Anthony, Anthony is my middle name. Anthony was, in some ways, the patron saint of our family. His picture was honored, a statue of St. Anthony. We love St. Anthony in our home. So he's very much in the middle of my life, in the middle of the life that I had growing up. So you know what? Okay, St. Anthony, you want in on this? You are welcome here. So, St. Anthony, St. Anthony, please come around. Something's lost and cannot be found. And so we are looking, St. Anthony. And so I'm willing to line up as many saints as I can to get on this case. Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, St. Anthony. We'll keep them coming. Keep turning to the Lord in this novena of divine mercy time. It's like, too much, Lord. Okay, it's too much. Here we are. I'm looking to you, Father. So there we go. So living in that reality that, okay, we've pruned and now we've got these buds that they're beginning to bloom. Well, they're meant to bear fruit. So what's the fruit that the Lord has for you that he wants to begin to see to bloom and blossom? Pray about that. Think about that. What was your Lenten pruning all about? What was it clearing away? It was clearing away different obstacles and blockages. What it was meant to bloom. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord for that discernment. The capacity to recognize and distinguish when the Lord is asking you to take an action out of your new normal of living a resurrected life as God's child in this world. Fifth point. I've got eight, and I'm going to get through them all. Fifth point. Lent is about you joining up with Jesus in his journey into the desert. Easter is about Jesus drawing near to you in your daily journey. Let me say that again. Lent is about you joining up with Jesus in his journey into the desert. Easter is about Jesus drawing near to you in your daily journey. Now, when it comes to Lent, we you know, you heard me reflect on this how many times? And it often means for us what? A desert in a metaphorical term, right? And the desert is what? It's not always easily visible to us. We don't always get to see where we're experiencing that desert. But faith, Easter, is about a faith that sees. So you're not always aware of the ways that the Lord is going to lead you into a desert that has your name on it, right? What particular purification, a confrontation, or transformation, or anointing, are you the Lord prompting you and being docile to be led and trusting in him? All of those things, that the Lord is with you. Well, now Easter is about a faith that sees. It's about a faith that sees that the risen Lord is with me. And now I'm seeing that he wants to be at work through me. He wants to accompany me in my day-to-day. In my day-to-day, he wants to walk with me. And to be open to that, to pray for that, to have a new point of focus on that. Many of you are going to work. Pray for that. Lord, be with me. Help me to see you in my today. And Lord, help me to see how it is you want to appear through me today. More on this in a minute. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight. Hey, welcome back to Sound Insight. Today on the program, I'm talking about two parts, a two-part program, today and tomorrow. Today, I'm discussing how we understand Easter well by reflecting on the reality of Lent, and it often presents a nice contrast between the reality we live in Lent compared to the reality we live in Easter. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about living Easter in the light of the eight first words. Rather than the seven last words of Jesus on the cross, the eight first words of Easter and the different gospel accounts. So I'm excited to share that program with you as well. So we've covered quite a bit of ground so far, I'm happy to say. And if you haven't been following along up to this point, understanding Easter in the light of Lent, the first point is that the Easter season is intimately linked with the season of Lent through the sacred Triduum, the 3 days. And so our living of the Easter season is linked to our living the season of Lent. Second, Lent is about taking the journey to the cross. Easter is about running from the tomb. Third, Lent is about enough, and about enough is enough. Easter is about too much. Lent, fourth, is about being pruned so as to bloom. Easter is about the bloom bearing fruit. Fifth, Lent is about you joining up with Jesus in his journey into the desert. Easter is about Jesus drawing near to you in your daily journey. So let me just finish that one. When we think about this idea of joining up with Jesus in his journey into the desert, that's us making a spiritual act of being drawn into the events or mysteries of Jesus's life, that they can become real in us. Jesus can live those realities in us as we spiritually are drawn back into those very events in the life of Jesus. This Easter is about us recognizing that the living Lord Jesus, who is at the right hand of the Father, is also the Lord Jesus who lives in our hearts. And this Lord is not just kind of asleep in the back seat. No, he's there, and he wants to move in and through our today, in the details of our today. And so we ought to be attentive and on the alert for the various ways that he wants to get involved or be so intimately involved in our very thinking, our loving, our sensitivity to what's happening in the moment, that the Lord will be operating in and through us. That's so exciting. That's Easter. Living Easter well means living in that heightened sensitivity of faith expectation that the living Lord is alive in me and wants to move through me into this world. So, number six. Lent is about giving up things we are attached to. Easter is about attaching ourselves to Jesus, who gave himself up for us. Lent is about giving up things we are attached to. Easter is about attaching ourselves to Jesus, who gave himself up for us. So this is kind of like two sides of a coin, right? And of course, this idea that Lent is about giving up things we're attached to, it's always for the sake of, right? You give up attachments to sins or to the flesh, the fallen tendencies of human beings, or even just good things, humanly good things, created goods, for the sake of the supernaturally good things that come from God. And so, of course, when we put the principal focus in Lent on giving up stuff, that doesn't mean that there isn't also a recognition that we are doing that for the sake of being more deeply attached to the Lord and to the supernatural realities of life. However, even with that said, Easter puts a greater focus on attaching ourselves to Jesus, on the sense of the risen Lord who has broken free from the bounds of death. He has shown himself victorious over the grave, over sin and all of its consequences. He now opens a space for us to be attached to him, to be connected to him, to be bonded to him. Him, the one who gave himself up for us. So I want to encourage you to think about Easter as a time of increasing those means of expressing our personal and intimate devotion to the Lord. And you might do that through things like right now. Right now is not only the octave of Easter, but it's a time of the Divine Mercy Novena. So if that's not something you're doing, maybe you want to focus a little bit on that. Take some time and look at some of the passages from the Diaries of St. Faustina and come to understand a bit more about the burning heart of mercy that is the ocean of mercy, the Father, or that Jesus, Divine Mercy, I trust in you. You know, that coming to know that Jesus can change everything. Maybe it's a time to step up and consider, or step up and take action on going to adoration and being more deeply attached to personal, intimate, profound time in the presence of the Lord. Maybe go to Mass if you can during the week. Maybe one more day. Schedule your appointments around going to Mass. Don't just settle to let something come in and crowd out your ability to attend Mass. So Lent is about giving up things we're attached to. Easter is about attaching ourselves to Jesus, who gave himself up for us. Let's put the principal focus not on giving up other stuff, but on attaching ourselves more intentionally, more consistently to Jesus. All right, number 7. Lent is about struggling for freedom from slavery to sin. Easter is about celebrating our adoption into God's family. Lent is about struggling for freedom from slavery to sin. Easter is about celebrating our adoption into God's family. So you think about the two principal ways of understanding our 40-day journey in Lent. And of course, the primary one, the first one, is the journey with Christ in the desert, right? From his baptism through his entry into public ministry. But the second one is what? The second one's the Exodus. That in a certain way, Lent is our own personal Exodus. And we have the beginning of the Lenten, the beginning of the Exodus, what? The supernatural intervention of God through the various plagues, and let my people go, Pharaoh, says Moses, being the voice of God, bringing the voice of God and the message of God. And he leads his people out into the desert. And yeah, that time in the desert is all about what? It's a struggling for freedom from slavery to sin, right? From actual slavery. And so we look at that as a way of understanding our Lenten journey of being purified and cleansed like the Israelites in the desert, in order to learn how to be docile and movable by God's Holy Spirit, who will provide in his own way every day what they need to learn to trust and to follow. Now, Easter is about celebrating our adoption into God's family. Well, it begins on the other side of the journey, where the Israelites enter into the promised land. So it's not so much about the idea of being set free from sin, but it's about entering into that promised land, right? Now, when they entered into that promised land, flowing with milk and honey, right? That land that says, you know, my people, this is the land I have for you. You belong to me, and here's a place for you to belong. And, they didn't just peacefully enter the promised land and just sort of march in a parade to Jerusalem, right, to God's holy city. No, they had to battle, right? But they had to battle from the standpoint of their identity. This is who I am. This is who we are. This is what we're all about, right? We belong to God, and we're going to honor God. We can't mix with these other peoples, because we are going to likely fall into a betrayal of faith. We're going to fall into a type of idolatry or a type of sacrilege. And we don't want to do that. And so there was the sense of a constant battle to be true to their identity. But the reality was that they were to celebrate their adoption into God's family. their adoption into being God's chosen people. Well, we Christians get to experience that at a whole new level in this new covenant, where we are drawn at a supernatural level into the very life of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where we share an adoption as new creations to be God's sons and daughters through, with, and in Jesus. We get to call God Father because of Jesus and his Spirit alive in us. And knowing that reality of being adopted children of God, that is the great gift of Easter. It's not about where we've come from. It's about who we are now because of what Christ has done, and it's about where we're headed. I talked all about that yesterday. That seventh point here came alive for me in a whole new way, and I'm excited to explore it more fully this Easter. I'm an adopted child of God, delighted in by the Father, and I want to live and experience that in a new way this Easter. Hey, welcome back to Sound Insight. So today on the program, I'm making my way through the 8 points that distinguish Lent from Easter. And the whole concept here is we want to have a great Easter season. I hope and pray you had a great Lent. But what marks a great Lent is going to be very different from what will mark a great Easter. And I've gone through some of the distinctions by recognizing there's a linkage between the reality of Lent and the reality of Easter. And yet some of the emphases differ. And so I've kind of already talked you through them. And let's kind of jump right in and talk about the last one, which is Lent is about removing the stumbling blocks from our path. Easter is about being willing to be a stumbling block. Now, how about that? Right? So if we follow the story of Jesus, baptized, pushed into the desert, driven by the Spirit into the desert, there tempted by the devil, then comes through the desert and enters into the synagogue to begin his public ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor and all of that, liberty to captives, a year of favor. And everybody thought well of him until he started to challenge them. And, you know, he began to become a stumbling block, even though he announced this great message. Well, it became a stumbling block for some of the hearers, so much so that they wanted to throw him off the cliff, be done with him. Not a very nice start to public ministry, being willing to be a stumbling block. We get the idea about Lent, removing stumbling blocks from our path, identify the different brokennesses or weak points or areas where sin has a foothold or a stronghold in our lives and attempting to diminish or remove or renounce them, etc. Got it. But what about being willing to be a stumbling block? That one's a little more challenging. Jesus was a sign of contradiction. And we need to know that our Easter faith will be a sign that will be contradicted. Not just might be, but will be. You know, it's not just that, you know, let's get everybody together at the table, let's have a cup of coffee, and everyone's going to be smiling and singing Kumbaya at the end. No, that is not the way things work. For the gospel is news, and it's news that requires a response, and that response is repent and believe. Turn your back and renounce and reject all sinful ways of thinking and looking at things and attitudes and ways of living and avoiding other things and saying yes to God completely, fully, finally, totally. Loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, et cetera, et cetera. And you know what? People don't want to die to themselves. You know, I'm raising my hand, me first. And because of that, and because we don't want to face points of shame and maybe darkness in our lives, well, it's not always going to be a popular thing to be a stumbling block. And yet the world desperately needs it. You know, just yesterday, I was having a conversation with someone who talked about rediscovering their Catholic faith and how Sacred Heart Radio was a real source of encouragement and support and strength for him. He grew up Catholic, and he fell away from the faith after college, and spent more than a decade in different forms of sort of Eastern meditation and mysticism, and found that it wasn't satisfying. And through a couple of events, he came back into touch with his Catholic faith and encountered Ignatian spirituality. And this was a path back, and in ravenous to learn more, came upon Sacred Heart Radio. What a gift it's been to him. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for that. And it's like, you know what? It takes, thank God that Sacred Heart Radio is out there being willing to present the faith. And you know what? There are people, and now he's being a witness, and he shared a story about being a witness to his faith to a family member who has been away from the faith, who and maybe wouldn't look to the Catholic Church or the Catholic faith to be a source of solace, comfort, a source of peace, a source of light and life. And maybe there's a bit of prejudice and hostility towards the faith and towards the church. But, you know, he was willing to be out there on Easter Sunday itself to be a stumbling block, not attempting to be, and in fact was providing a stepping stone to help that family member take a step forward in faith. And so he was asking me about some recommended books to help her take some more steps towards faith in Christ and a recovery of her own Catholic faith. Another example, I was talking to this guy who was cutting my hair. You know, we moved up here, and so the person who cut my hair for a long time, not available, not so easily accessible. Well, a minute down the road, there's a guy who cuts hair. Talking to this guy, and you know what he said? Hey, he grew up Catholic, and he fell away from the faith. And you know why he fell away from the faith? He did not find that his Catholic faith was encouraged or promoted or supported when he was in high school. But he bumped into Christian witnesses who were very harsh and condemning. That's how he received it, their messages, that there wasn't a sense of dialogue or openness or discovery or exploration. It was more right and wrong, and it turned him off to all Christianity. And as a result, he discovered, again, Buddhism in his instance, and very devout Buddhist now. And the fascinating thing that he said to me, even though he's been practicing this this Buddhist religion for a number of, well, for more than a decade, was his kind of re-engaging in conversations with Christians about Jesus Christ. And he found a very different kind of interlocutor, someone who was respectful and willing to engage in dialogue, not we're right, you're wrong, or you've betrayed your roots and you'll be held accountable for that. No, but very much a sense of openness and invitation. And he's like, you know what? If I had encountered someone like him, like these people he's talking to now, or me, because I was happy to share with him my own faith, he's like, I probably wouldn't have left. It made me so sad. I just feel so convicted in my, just in my own self, for us as a church, that so many people are doing what? They are walking away from the church, floating away from the church, or running away from the church because of what they are encountering regarding witnesses. And it's not that, you know, in this particular one here, is that, you know, we want to help remove stumbling blocks from people's paths. And being willing to be a stumbling block doesn't mean being willing to throw stones at. It means being willing to present the truth in love. It's being willing to present the fullness of our faith in a way that, you know what, is going to talk about how it'll help you flourish. Talk to you about how majestic and glorious and magnetically beautiful it is. And oh, by the way, it also names what is real about the world. But we don't have to lead with that. We don't have to lead with, you know, this is the fullness of truth. And you know what? It's going to crowd out some other things that you might be holding right now as true. Let's just focus first on getting them close and not driving them away. Yes, be willing to be a stumbling block. The person of Jesus Christ is singular. He's one of a kind. He's the Son of God and Son of Man. And we were going to have to face that truth at some point about the singular nature of Jesus Christ and how he is sent by the Father to reveal the true nature of God and of us and of life on earth. Absolutely. But we don't have to begin with things that are unnecessary obstacles. You know, I'm thinking of Pope Francis. Lead with mercy. Show an open door. Accompany people. And meet them where they're at. And then walk with them into the heart of the Father's mercy. And yes, always presenting and not surrendering the fullness of our faith. So Lent is about removing stumbling blocks from our path. Easter is about being willing to be a stumbling block. Not hiding our light under a bushel basket. There you have it. Well, those are my 8 points linking together Lent and Easter, because I want you to live a good Easter. I want to have a good Easter season. And so tomorrow we're going to dig further into this. I'm going to talk about living Easter in light of the 8 first words. You're going to really enjoy this. I know you are. You've heard of the 7 last words, a very famous point of meditation of Christ on the cross. We're going to dig into the 8 first words of the Easter Sunday witnesses. And we'll do that tomorrow on Sound Insight. Hey, thanks so much for listening. God bless your day. Join me tomorrow for more Sound Insight.